Al-Bayan Radio presents the following Friday khutbah from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنْفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق الجهاد حتى أتاه اليقين فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته واكتفى بهديه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أجارني الله وإياكم من النار ثم أما بعد. The overindulgence and attachment to the materialism of this world and its desires has taken many aback, has captivated many, to the extent that these people, knowingly or unknowingly, have lost their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Their overindulgence in this dunya has led them to intentionally or unintentionally put the Quran, the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the teachings, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind their back, neglecting them and not attending to their commands. Taraf, over indulgence. Taraf, the definition of taraf is the indulgence that exceeds the limit of moderation in the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you with. The overindulgent person is corrupted. Is corrupted by the comfortability and the relationship he has with this dunya, distracting him from his religious responsibilities and obligations. His focus is to beautify and to rectify and to increase that of his dunya. He attends to his desires, seeking to increase that of wealth, of food and drinks and housing and transportation, and the list of the desires goes on, all at the expense of his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, at the expense of his connection and his identity, all for the increase of his desire. The concept of taraf, overindulgence, is mentioned in the Quran. Every time Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the concept of taraf, it comes with condemnation and warning. A warning to the believers, because overindulgence is one of the main root causes for a person to fall short in his worldly and his spiritual religious obligations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also taught us the severity of overindulgence, and he voiced his concern. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not fear for his ummah poverty or the lack of luxury. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam feared for his ummah that it becomes materialistic, competing for this dunya, seeking to attain of as much as it could, ultimately leading to its destruction. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى أَن تُبْسَطَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا وَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. Islam doesn't prohibit luxury. It doesn't prohibit you enjoying the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal upon you. Islam prohibits and warns against seeking the luxuries of this dunya and the desires of this dunya at the expense of your religion, at the expense of your identity, at the expense of your responsibilities. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty, and He loves to see the effect of His beauty on His servants. He told one of the companions, فَإِذَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَإِذَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَلْيُرَى أَثَرُ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَكَرَامِهِ. That if Allah gives you wealth, if Allah Azza wa Jal blesses you with wealth and grants you affluence, let the signs of Allah's blessings show upon you. Let them show upon you. There's nothing wrong with luxuries and enjoying the blessings and the desires of this dunya, so as long as they do not go against your teachings, your morals. They don't cross the boundaries of your religion. You don't fall short in your responsibilities. Now, this topic is wide. It's broad. There are many warnings, implications, caveats, subtopics, all which are important. And for this, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we want to start a series, Overindulgence and its effects. Today I want to touch on the topic of the impacts of overindulgence and the effects it has on your identity, and more importantly, the identity of your dependents, namely your children,
the second and the third generation coming.
The inspiration of this topic comes from an experience that I personally experienced not long ago. I teach a few boys Quran, and these boys are 9, 10 years old. So they're young, but not too young. Not 2 and 3, they're 10 and 9. So they've come and they want to learn. These boys come from a family that Allah has blessed them with the blessings that He has blessed them with. They come from a family that is respected. They come from a family that was raised up not in Cornell and in Cronulla and in the eastern suburbs. They were raised up in Greenacre, Lakemba, Bankstown, Punch, where all the Muslims are situated. And they come from an ethnicity that is Arab. But these children, sadly, could not identify Alif, Ba, and Ta. 10 years old, identify verbally or visually Alif, Ba, Ta, they could not. Tayyib, it happens. Some people are heedless, they wake up, they want to make a change. Fair enough. You know, and sometimes maybe the parents were focusing elsewhere. But قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدْ. They could not say. They have not memorized قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, where majority of the Muslims teach their children these words from when they can first, when they start talking, from when they begin talking, they teach them قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. These boys, 9, 10 years old, and they could not. Again, I'm gonna maybe let that one slide. But it gets worse. After talking with these boys and trying to noting that these boys are very, very bright. They can talk to you about other topics. They've memorized many names. They've memorized many other things. But when it came to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, they couldn't. طيب, again, I said, let's find out. Does this get worse? I asked one of the boys, I go, can you please help me with the five pillars of Islam? They couldn't mention the five pillars of Islam. 10 years old, and your son does not know the five pillars of his identity. Wallahi, it gets worse. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This boy could not say. This boy could not say the shahada of Islam. What future does this boy have? The idea is that this isn't in these boys. They're just an example of what's out there. They're an example of what's out there and what this community is facing. It gets worse. That's the religion. If for the ones that want to argue, that's the religion side of things. These boys and their examples like them, they can't speak proper English. They can't speak proper English. They speak street English, slang English. Like from there, you don't want to teach them religion, teach them at least the dunya. They don't want to learn English. They don't know proper English. They have social skills. They have physical problems. They can't move. They're weak. Wallah, I know children, 13, 14, 15 years old, they suffer from cholesterol and gout. Why is a 13-year-old suffering from cholesterol and gout? It's not hereditary. The problem is that he is living a lifestyle that is unhealthy. Not for his deen and not for his dunya. The question that is asked here is why? And who is responsible? Who is responsible? Because there is accountability. Someone must be held accountable for such examples that we have, and there are many of them, such examples that we have within the ranks of our generations that are growing up. Who's responsible? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, and he tells us explicitly and clearly, and does not need more explanation, who is responsible? كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ الْإِمَامُ رَاعٍ وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَالْرَجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي بَيْتِهِ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهَا. You're all responsible for your dependents. Everyone according to their level. Those that are responsible for the community are responsible and will be asked about their dependents within that community. The Amir and the one that runs the nations and the people, the communities, they'll be asked. And you, oh man, you're responsible for your family. And you'll be asked about them on the Day of Judgment. And oh lady, you in your husband's household are responsible for the household that you live in. You're responsible before Allah Azza wa Jal. The problem lies in the lack of self-accountability before our responsibilities. It's the lack of self-accountability before our responsibilities. And in this case, our children. We don't hold ourselves accountable enough when it comes to our dependence. طيب, then why is there a lack of accountability? Why do we lack this self-accountability? The answer to that, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except for those that Allah wants to show mercy to, is because we are busy, caught up, chasing the luxuries of this dunya. Chasing the luxuries of this dunya at the expense of our responsibilities. We are seeking to overindulge in this dunya. And when you're looking for that, You need numbing agents. When you're busy chasing this dunya and you have responsibilities that keep bickering and picking at you, you need numbing agents. You want to numb yourself and numb those around you. So you look for them. And let's take a numbing agent as an example. What numbing agent am I talking about? Let's use the example of handheld devices, iPads, iPhones, and the idea of screen time and that which the children are exposed to. And we're all guilty of this in one way or another. Beginning from very young, month-old children, babies, month-old babies up until teenage boys and girls. That numbing agent and the implication that it comes with is very detrimental, A, to their health, B, to their psychological health, and C, A, to their physical health, B, to their psychological health, and C, to their spiritual health. And where are we? Negligent, heedless, busy, amassing from this dunya. For who? For our children, whilst our children are getting destroyed. Oh, look how cute, he knows how to use the phone. He's 5 months old, he can get into YouTube and he can look, he presses and he knows what he wants and what. What's a child at 5 months doing holding a phone or an iPad, burning their eyes, burning their brain, becoming autistic? And these aren't my studies. Go look at them yourself if you wish. A numbing agent. This numbing agent is there. But then why is it there? What are they doing on these numbing agents? Do you know? Like, okay, that's young ages. Now we move up, 10 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old. What are they doing on these devices? Who are they interacting with? What are they watching? What are they absorbing of poison? And where are you in all this? And why have you given it to them? The reason, or first, what they're doing on it, I don't know, but I can imagine. I don't know, but I can imagine what is on there. At every age group, there is. And it's not promising. Especially when they're left alone. Why do we give it to them? Why do we give them such devices? So we can numb them out. So we can make them disappear. Realize, the phone isn't the problem. The device isn't the problem. There's benefit in them. And there's use in them. The problem is why we use these devices and why we give it to them. So we can numb them out. So we can make them disappear. Why so? Why do you want to make your children disappear? Why do you want them to be quiet? Why do you want them to put that dummy in their mouth as though they're not there? And that dummy being the device. I don't have the answer. You know who does? You do. A little bit of self-reflecting, pondering, and then think. Every time I allowed, every time I facilitated, every time, was it because I was memorizing Surah Al-Baqarah? Was it because I was busy revising my Quran? Or was I busy in this world? There are many examples to that effect. There are many examples to that effect. Why? Don't wake him up. Leave him. Keep him asleep. Haram. He's still asleep. He doesn't have to wake up for Fajr. This kid grows up, doesn't know how to pray Fajr. Or let her wear what she wishes. May Allah ma'ana, she's only young. She'll grow out of it. When she grows up and she's responsible and she's accountable, she doesn't know how to wear the hijab anymore. She doesn't know how to wear Islamic dress code. Why? Because she wasn't raised on that. And you were numbed out. You were busy chasing this dunya. If you're honest with yourself, and you seek the truth, and you seek answers, then the first person you begin with is yourself. You won't make excuses, and you won't blame others. Because the simple response to that is the response of the shaitan on the day of judgment. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. You took the bait that I put. That's all you done. Don't blame me. You took the bait. And then you expanded on it. You expanded on it. Blame the school. Blame the shaitan. Blame the West. Blame and blame and blame. And then what does that fix of the problem? Does that fix anything? Does that help anyone? Does that change anything? It only makes the problem worse. It only makes the problem worse. It's no one's fault. But there must be responsibility and accountability. And so as long as you're numb, as so as long as you're busy, and so as long as you are captivated by this dunya, negligent to your responsibilities, then there's not going to be a change. There's going to be nothing better. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us and to allow us to be the true servants that He wants us to be. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. الحمد لله وكفى ولا عدوان إلا على من ظلم وبغى والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث المصطفى صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته واكتفى بهديه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Raising your children on piety is not easy. It's a struggle. It's a hardship. It's a jihad. It's from the greatest jihad one can put forward in his life before Allah Azza wa Jal, offering it as a closeness to Allah. Seeking that your offsprings live a life of piety and closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. Your children are your responsibility. Your offsprings are yours. And you're responsible before Allah Azza wa Jal. And He will ask you about them on the day of judgment. You're like a shepherd. You're like a shepherd who has a flock of sheep. It's on a mountain. And on that mountain there are all these wild animals. If you fall asleep, your sheep are going to be one of these vicious animals' dinner. Your children are yours. If you neglect them because you're busy chasing this dunya, if you neglect them because you're busy amassing from the luxuries of this dunya, then guess what? Others will be more than happy to influence them. Be more than happy to take that burden, if you want to call it, off your shoulders. And take care of them for you. They will take good care, don't worry. They will be more than happy. You busy yourself. Go indulge in this dunya. Go make more money. Go find the luxuries of this dunya. Busy. Your kids, don't worry. They're with us. And we will influence them the way we wish. Not a joke. It's serious. And you will be held accountable before Allah Azza wa Jal. And the cost of it can be very, very, very detrimental. كلكم راعٍ كل ما من راعٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ما من راعٍ يسترعيه الله رعية ثم يموت يوم يموت وهو غاش لرعيته إلا حرم الله عليه الجنة. That there's no guardian who's given a responsibility over a group of people. And there's no more responsibility than that of your children. And then he dies on the day he dies, if he is dishonest, not doing that which Allah has commanded him to do with regards to his responsibility, then this person will not enter paradise wal-iyadhu billah. Remember, your children are the greatest indulgence you have. They're the greatest wealth you have. If you neglect them, then they will be a burden on you in this dunya and the next. They will cost you the happiness of this dunya and the happiness of the next. Indulge in that which Allah has allowed you to indulge in. But don't let that be the reason for your destruction. Don't let the indulgence you seek be at the expense of your identity, at the expense of the identity of your dependence, at the expense of your responsibility before your dependence, because you're responsible. And that responsibility will come to account one day. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا اللهم ارحمنا وتب علينا وتقبل منا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إننا كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إننا كنا من الظالمين اللهم ابرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا أكرم الأكرمين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير اللهم ابرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين في غزة اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا ومؤيدا وظهيرا اللهم اجعل لهم من ضيقهم فرجا ومخرجا اللهم اجعل لهم من ضيقهم فرجا ومخرجا اللهم ثبت الأرض من تحت أقدامهم اللهم انصرهم على أعدائهم نصرا مؤزرا يا قوي يا عزيز يا متين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة.